All right, everybody, welcome back in. We are off and running. It's another episode of the Wobcast 2.0. It's yours truly, Wobby, here to talk about and break down the NFL schedule and specifically the Minnesota Vikings schedule for 2024. As everyone knows, it was schedule release day yesterday, Wednesday, and it's like Christmas in the offseason. It's another Christmas in the offseason. We talk about the combine that way. We talk about the draft that way. But maybe no event is more like that than is the NFL schedule release. Another example of marketing genius by the NFL, taking an innocuous, random, non-newsworthy event and making it one of the pillar moments of your calendar year. That's what the NFL has done with the schedule release. Speaking of marketing geniuses, no one better to break this all down and talk about this than my partner and co-host, you, Guile. Stop looking around. It's you I'm talking about. How's it going, partner?
Hey, fantastic. Happy Thursday. Yeah, I mean, it's always a great day, the day after the schedule release. You get to, to really dive in and figure out what actual chance do we have to go win a Super Bowl this upcoming year. That's what every team is looking at when they enter the season. Do we actually have a chance to go to the dance this year? And the best way to be able to predict that is looking at not only who you're playing, but when you're playing it. Like, for example, the Atlanta Falcons are probably looking at the amount of noon games that they have with Kirk Cousins to be able to predict their win-loss record. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry, Kirk. But it's definitely an exciting day. And to your point, I know so many Vikings fans that view schedule release day as the most important day on the entire league calendar. Like, it is the number one day for them. And I wouldn't say I'm quite to that level, but I'm definitely excited. It's definitely the next kicking off point, so to speak, on us being able to predict the schedule. So really, really excited about it.
Yep. I got into a discussion, Giles, with someone on Twitter, and I was just trying to look it up because I wanted to mention their name. Black Sheep Cap on Twitter. He's like, at first I took his comment as criticism of like the whole concept and idea of the schedule release, because he's like, it's so stupid that people get excited about this. But it came off as sort of like a terse comment to me, but then we sort of exchanged a couple of messages, and I kind of get where he's coming from, but it just even more so fortifies the point. Like, it's just marketing genius to turn nothing into something like this. Like, I mean, think about all the other sports. Now, granted, there's more games, right? In baseball, there's 162 games. It's harder to get excited about the schedule, but no other sport like makes a big deal about the day in which they release the dates and times of the time of when you play the opponents you already know you're going to play. Like, we already knew who they were playing. But, you know, one of the points I made was, like, even though we already knew who they were going to play and where they were going to play them, getting the complete constitution of the schedule, it does alter projection at times, you know? And I think the easiest example is, you know, you take an opponent that maybe you might have chalked up as a win, but now it's like, it's on the road. And we played Monday night the week before, and this is a road game. And now that the degree of difficulty there has gone up, right? And, or, you know, you get three road games in a row, you know, and it's like the degree of difficulty playing that third opponent, that third road game in a row, that opponent's degree of difficulty just went up. So finding, you know, now that all the information is in hand, it can alter the projection a little bit. So I think it's warranted that it's a big deal. I think it's marketing genius that the NFL has done this. They've also done it with the draft, quite frankly, Giles. I mean, it's like sacrilegious to think the draft wouldn't be a rich content and rich marketing event, but there probably was a time when it wasn't, and the NFL has turned it into that, you know? It's always a fun day. It's fun watching the leaks come out, and then you get the whole thing unveiled and you take a look at it, and the conversation is obviously fast and furious on social and at the water cooler and at your kids' sporting events, you know?
Yeah, 100%. And I think across all the different events that they put on, the fact that they travel to different cities and they generate local interest among those audiences, I think is an additional kind of admiration of their marketing genius. But I think when it comes to the actual NFL schedule release, another thing that I am always really excited about is the specific timing of the bye week, because the bye week and where it's placed can have a pretty tremendous impact on your ability to go the distance, because If you get punched in the mouth and you have to go play somewhere else, you're more likely to lose that next game. So the bye week can be incredibly helpful, but also can really hurt you in some respects if it's improperly placed. So as most Minnesota fans maybe know already, we now only play 5 games and we get our bye week. We have a very early bye week this year, and it'll make a very interesting kind of addition to whether or not we can actually go win 10, 11, 12, 13 games.
Sure, Giles. That's a good point. The bye week and where it falls was, you know, I really came away with four main takeaways, you know, or opinions from the Vikings schedule, and the placement of the bye is included in one of them. Last week, I posted a TikTok video, and you can follow the Wobcast 2.0 on TikTok and myself as well on TikTok. But I did 3 landmines that you want to avoid in your NFL schedule, Giles, and one of them was the early bye. And unfortunately, the Vikings hit that. They hit that landmine. They do have an early bye. It comes right after the London game. The Vikings play in London week 5 against the Jets. Week 5 against the Jets. So they have the bye the next week. Now, I believe the league gives you an option to have the bye after London or to take it a week later. And so I believe that's the case.
It is.
Okay. So, and then the Vikings obviously elected to have it right after London, which you can understand why with the travel and jet lag and so forth. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the bye is really a great time for self-scouting. The bye is a great time. Like, let's say things aren't going great with Sam Darnold and you kind of want to get McCarthy in there. Like, the bye is a great time for that extra week to get that plan and execute that plan to get a young player. And it doesn't even have to be the quarterback. It could be a rookie at a different position. It could be a new free agent signing where you're like, you know what, we're ready to get this guy in there. So maybe the Vikings can use the bye to their advantage in that regard. But when it comes to self-scouting and when it comes to reversing the established trends or playing off of the intentionally established trends, having your bye in week 6 is not great because there's just not a lot of body of work there. And then the bye is also rest and recuperation. And at week 6 in the season, typically you're really not at a stage where you're begging for a week off. You're kind of just getting rolling a little bit. So I thought that was not ideal. However, the other 2 pitfalls that I discussed in that TikTok video, the Vikings avoided both of those. And those were a bunch of road primetime games. Now they do have one road primetime game, which is not awesome, but I mean, you're probably going to have one and having just one is fine. Mm-hmm. Like road primetime is a bugger, man, because it's already tough when you're on the road and it's already tough to play primetime. So now you're doing those in the same week. That's not fun because it's a 2-week problem. Road primetime games are a 2-week problem because you're traveling, so it's a shorter week than if you were home. And then because it's prime time, you're not getting home until the sun comes up the next Monday or Tuesday. And so your following week is shorter as well. So the Vikings avoided that for the most part. And then getting road games bunched up late in the season, that's terrible. And the Vikings they have the opposite. They've got home games bunched up late in the season. So they were able to avoid some of those big pitfalls I was hoping they could avoid other than the early season bye. You mentioned the Sunday games at noon, Giles, and that was my number one takeaway from the Vikings schedule. I know that it sounds antithetical to what the public likes, but the clubs, their preferred situation is Sunday noon kickoff. That's what the teams want. It's fun to play on Monday night. It's fun to play on Sunday night. I get that whole thing. But if you asked every head coach and every GM, when do you want to play? Sunday at noon. The Vikings, Giles, have 12 Sunday noon games on the slate, and I think that is good for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could not agree more. I think when you look at the entire schedule across the 2024 season, I think a lot of things fell our way, honestly. And you can make an argument that, oh, it's horrible that the bye week is falling on week six element and that we only have to play 5 games and we have our bye. We could be the Detroit Lions. The Detroit Lions have their bye week on week 5. So they play four games and they have their bye. We could be way worse. In fact, I was actually just talking to a Detroit Lions fan out in Las Vegas last week, Craig Raudiola. Shout out to you, man. But he was talking about how the Detroit Lions, they're a juggernaut, but it's tough on the bye week. In fact, he was actually predicting that the Vikings may be able to come in and kind of take them over in the playoffs. I mean, to your point, when you think about Sam Darnold playing up until the bye week, and if he's not playing well, you could put it in JJ McCarthy. This guy's from Michigan, Craig, and he was talking very highly of JJ McCarthy, and he actually thinks that he's going to be the guy to lead us to the promised land later in the season, that he'll get plugged in and he'll go to work. So I'm hoping that bye week could maybe be that perfect point in the schedule to let JJ go to work on the field. So it'll be interesting to see how it works.
Yep. My number two observation, Giles, I already sort of mentioned, four of the final six games are at home. Mm-hmm. And this is an awesome situation for the Vikings. I don't see any cold weather games for them. It could be a little miserable at Seattle. I believe that's week 16 in December, but a bunch of home games late in the season. So if you are remotely close to the race, if you are in the thick of the race, four of your final six games at home is awesome. And also those final six opponents, Giles, are, winnable matchups. It's Seattle, it's Chicago twice, it's Arizona, it's Atlanta. It's games where the Vikings are going to either be favored or be within a field goal of the spread. So I really like how the end of the season shapes up for the Vikings. What did you think of that?
I completely agree. Anytime you end the season like that, I'm all for it, because at the end of the day, you could make an argument that the NFC North is the toughest division in football this year. Now, that's maybe a little bit purple-colored glasses saying that, a little bit of Homer mentality. But when you look at across all the other divisions in football, the NFC North is becoming quite stacked. They're becoming quite dominant. And, excuse me, I really like having a couple home games, there at the end of the season, that you're playing a division opponent, because there's a chance that you're competing nose-to-nose on who's going to be able to take a wild card spot or take the division. So I like, pushing it down to the wire and giving yourself a little bit of control.
Yep. And it's like at the end of the season, you want to be the team that's ascending and peaking, right? Mm-hmm. That you're on the way up in your arc. Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course, it'd be great if you could start 10-0 and, either continue to dominate on your way into the playoffs or cruise into the playoffs, that's fine too. But if you can be that team that is really hitting its stride once December starts, that's awesome. And having four of six at home only helps you do that. Tell me, I was going back and forth in my head on this, Giles, the early season situation.
Okay.
My initial, what I literally wrote down initially was tough opening month plus early bye. Okay. It's at the Giants week one, home against San Francisco week two, home against Houston week three, at Green Bay week four, and then you go to London for Rodgers and the Jets week five. Mm-hmm. So first blush, I think that's tough. What I will say, though, is you won't be surprised if the Vikings win at New York in week one, will you?
No.
Okay. I won't either.
Tough place to play, but I wouldn't be surprised if we won.
I mean, that's a game you look at like if the Vikings are going to be contenders this year, that's a win. Okay, right? Yes. Won't you say? All right. And we're going to get into our week by week predictions here in just 1 minute after we make this observation. So that's to me a game they can win. Now, San Francisco. Now, last year they had that thing where everyone who played San Francisco lost the following week. San Francisco is on like a 2 or 3 year run here of just unbelievable play, and they're really physical, tough, good defense. Kyle Shanahan, Brock Purdy, what a run, whole thing. Mm-hmm. At some point, there's a regression to the mean and there's a come down for every team who's really good. Mm-hmm. And I wonder when that's going to happen with San Francisco. Okay. The other thing is San Francisco opens the season on Monday Night Football against a tough opponent in the New York Jets. Okay. They play a really good defense and Aaron Rodgers. And then they have to turn around on a short week, travel to Minnesota and play the Vikings. So that's the other way I look at the early part of the season for the Vikings is I wonder, can they get off to a sneaky good 2-0 start that would be a road win against an NFC opponent and then a victory over the 49ers? Now, you talk about a hell of a way to start a season. That would check both boxes.
I completely agree. If you could find a way to go 5-0 going into your bye, that is a phenomenal scenario. Now, I know a lot of Minnesota Vikings fans, they get a little touchy when it comes to the bye week because I believe Minnesota sports have a tendency to kind of trail off after a bye week. Like we either let ourselves get too down or we let ourselves get too high, but we don't tend to do very well after the bye week. So I don't love the momentum of where the bye week could be if we started 5-0, but starting 5-0 is still starting 5-0 and you have to win those games at some point during the season. So I'm here for it. And I think to all the points that you just mentioned, there's absolutely a realistic possibility that we could go 5-0. I also believe that Kevin O'Connell is a genius. I believe that even outside of being a Minnesota Vikings fan, I think he is a very strategic thinker. And I think he is obviously disappointed with the 2023 season. And I think he was maybe a little embarrassed, if we're being completely honest. And I think he is going to come out with an elevated game plan to ensure that we put our best foot forward in all these different scenarios. Because the two reasons that we did not do better in 2023 was the fact that our starting quarterback went down midseason, obviously. Yep. But secondly, we were a turnover machine when it came to both sides of the ball, not in a good way, for the Minnesota Vikings. And I think that is going to be an incredible focus when it comes to training camp. So all that to say, I think all those things are going to get cleaned up, and I think we're going to be playing our best ball right out the gate.
All right. Love it. 5-0 would be amazing. If a sneaky 2-0 start here, though, Giles, we'll see what happens with the Niners. They might be a juggernaut again, and you can laugh at the thought of it, you know, after week two if the Vikings lose by a ton. But anyway, it was a thought that crossed my mind. Let's quickly go week by week. Let's do a schedule prediction here. Giles and Wabi predicting the Vikings schedule. I'll lead us through the exercise. Week one at the New York Giants, Giles. We don't know if it'll be Darnold or McCarthy. We won't know that for any of these games, but we're going to try and predict it nonetheless. Week one, Vikings at Giants. I will mark a win down for the Minnesota Vikings here.
Win.
Okay. Week two, week two, come home against the 49ers. Now, I just hypothesized a win for the Vikings in week two because the Niners are coming down from two great seasons. They're coming off a physical game against the Jets. The Vikings could win this one in their home opener, but I'm not going to predict it. I'll put a loss on the schedule here for the Vikings.
I am going to predict a loss as well. I would really like them to win, obviously, but I think obviously the last time that San Fran was in town, San Fran lost, and I think they're going to remember that, and I think they're going to find a way to squeak out a win.
All right. Stay at home and host the Houston Texans. I have this as a loss for the Vikings as well. I think the Texans are a juggernaut. They are on the rise, and that's a lot for the Vikings to handle.
I'm going to deviate, and I'm going to say this is a win. I believe heavily in the Houston Texans. I think they're maybe a favorite to be in the Super Bowl conversation. However, they have made a ton of changes on defense over this past offseason. All things that I think that will be good, but I think they're going to still be trying to hit their stride in terms of figuring out how to work well together, and I think the Vikings are going to be able to exploit it. So I'm going to predict a win for the Minnesota Vikings.
Week four at Green Bay. First division game of the season. It's on the road. Nice weather. A fall/autumn day in Green Bay. Giles, what do you say?
I'm predicting a win. I think Kevin, not Kevin Love. That's a different guy. Jordan Love. Different sport. Jordan Love, I think he is definitely on the rise, but I think the Vikings are still going to find a way to exploit it, especially given nice weather out there in Green Bay. So I'm predicting a win.
All righty. After Green Bay, they go to London. I've got the Vikings on a three-game skid here, Giles, and I'm going to correct that for them in London as they play Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. The Vikings don't lose overseas. They've won their last three international games, so I think they're going to beat Aaron Rodgers and the Jets and get a victory. That would move them to 2-3 through week five as they go into their bye. Vikings in London against the Jets. What do you got?
I am predicting win.
All right, coming out. It's all good. Coming out of the bye, Giles, home game against Detroit. The Detroit games are hard for me to handicap. I'm going to give them a win at home off of a bye.
I'm going to give them a win as well. I really think a home game here off the bye, although this is historically not where the Vikings do well, I think they're going to try to write that formula.
Thursday night football. O'Connell returns to play the Rams and McVay. I'm giving him a win in this one. I see McVay going back there and upsetting the Rams.
I completely agree. I'm predicting a win here as well. I think Kevin O'Connell really wants to show that he is maybe the better coach of the two.
Home, Colts. I don't see how they don't win this game. So I got the Vikings on a little bit of a heater here. They win their fourth in a row and beat the Colts at home.
Ironically, I think the Colts are going to lose as well. I think the Minnesota Vikings take Indianapolis to the woodshed, and we win at home.
At Jacksonville, this is a sneaky, tough game. It's a physical team off of a bad year, but they're well coached. I like their quarterback. I actually think the Vikings drop the game in Jacksonville.
I could definitely see this as a loss, but I'm actually going to predict a win here. I know I've been predicting a lot of wins here moving forward, but I know a lot of NFL analysts that are actually predicting the Jaguars not even to make the playoffs this year, considering the strength of schedule in the AFC. So I think this is something that maybe the Vikings can take a stab at and win.
All right. At Tennessee, win for the Vikings.
Obviously win for the Vikings. I think the Titans might be the number one overall pick next year.
At Chicago, Caleb Williams, Roma Dunze at Chicago. I have the Vikings dropping this one.
So everything in me tells me I should predict a loss here, but I'm going to predict a win because I think Caleb Williams is going to be floundering at this point. I think he's going to be able to maybe have some initial early success, but a little bit of failure. And I think it's all going to start train wrecking and start exploding at this point by week 12.
This is the Vikings, the beginning of a three-game stretch where they're at home. They play the Cardinals at home, the Falcons at home, the Bears at home on Monday night. I have the Vikings beating the Cardinals, beating Atlanta, and beating Chicago to win three straight at home.
Interesting. I have them winning two of three. I think we are going to win against the Cardinals at home. And I think Kirk Cousins, unfortunately, is going to come back to US Bank Stadium and show him who's the better quarterback. And I think we're going to lose to the Atlanta Falcons.
All right. How about at home against the Bears?
And then I think we go to back to home and play the Chicago Bears. And I think we win that one as well.
All right. At Seattle. What do you got at Seattle?
I'm going to predict a loss here. We never can find a way to win in Seattle. It's like our Achilles heel. I'm going to predict a loss there.
Okay. Home, Green Bay in the penultimate game of the season. I have the Vikings losing that game.
Ooh. You know what? I'm going to predict a loss here as well. I think there's going to be a little bit on the line, and I think we're going to struggle to find a way to win, unfortunately.
Okay. Now, the last game is tricky. It's at Detroit, which they would be underdogs if everything was normal, but you don't know who's in it to win it, who's not, who's resting players, whatever. I'm going to mark a loss down here for the Vikings. Obviously, an intriguing game. I hope there's a lot on the line, and I hope I'm wrong, but I have a loss for the Vikings to close the season at Detroit.
So this one, I actually think the Vikings are obviously, you know, in the fringe playoff race, according to my predictions. But I actually think this is a win here. I think the last game of the season, there's going to be a lot on the line, and the Vikings are going to push forward and win.
All right, Giles, I tallied them up, my friend. You've got 13 wins for the Vikings. That would be a 13-4 mark for the Minnesota Vikings and would put them right up there for a division championship. If this happens, if they're 13-4, who do you think they're neck and neck with? Who do you think they're trying to hold off to win the division?
Definitely think it's Detroit. Detroit is a juggernaut in all the different ways. They've only improved this offseason. They have another year of continuity at all the right positions. They've obviously started paying some guys. Jared Goff has some certainty. So I think it's Detroit Lions for sure.
My tally has the Vikings at 10 wins. That would put them at 10-7 if my projections are true, which is likely outside of the division race. It's very probable that either Green Bay or Detroit would have significantly more wins than that and would win the division. But at 10-7, you may be in the thick of it when it comes to the wild card race. So hopefully Giles is right because he's at 13 wins. If I'm right at 10 wins, not a bad campaign for a squad dealing with Darnold as its starter or perhaps a rookie J.J. McCarthy as its starter. So that's how Giles and I see the season unfolding, and that is a wrap for today's episode of the Wobcast 2.0. Giles and I will be back very soon, though, as we break down the Offensive Rookie of the Year race, talking specifically about JJ McCarthy and Caleb Williams and the projections we have for their rookie seasons and whether or not we think one of them can be Offensive Rookie of the Year in 2024. On behalf of my partner and my co-host, Giles, this is Wobby signing off for now. Make sure you like, follow, and subscribe the Wobcast 2.0. You can find us wherever you find all your other favorite football content. Please do that. Once you do, we'll see you there. Until next time, Skol Vikings.